Hey, this is Pastor Spencer with Racine Bible Church. You're listening to a sermon from a Sunday morning.
Two messages in one day. How exciting is that? We're driving through the blizzard of 2022, I assume. If you have your Bibles, and I trust you do, will you open up to John chapter 21? We're going to be looking at John chapter 21 this morning. And I agree with Darren, who just got done preaching, trust and obey. There is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. But what if you're like me? What do you do when you blow it? What do you do when you're not trusting and you didn't obey? Where do you go? What do you do? When I chose the spiritual discipline of transparency, I thought, oh, this is a nice little add-on. But as I study it and as I dwell upon it, this is of massive, massive, massive importance for your Christian walk with Jesus Christ. Are you willing to be transparent before your brothers and transparent before the Lord on who you really are? And I thought about transparency. I had to look it up, the definition, and Merriam-Webster's dictionary said transparency as the ability to be seen through. And the opposite of transparency is concealing. And concealing means to don't allow the light to pass through you. And I thought about us as Christians. Jesus is the light of the world. And are we transparent and allowing him to shine through us? Or are we more concealatory and covering it? So today I want to talk about being transparent. What do I do when I blow it? What do I do when I don't follow Darren's prescription for a joyful, happy life in Christ? And I thought about you guys. Maybe you grew up in a home where it wasn't safe to tell the truth about how you're really doing or who you really are. Maybe you kind of had to cover it up at home. Brothers and sisters, Racine Bible Church, this needs to be a safe place for us to come and say who we really are and where we really blew it. A safe place where you're not going to get rocks thrown at you because you messed up. You know, I thought about the church. This place is not a museum for saints, but a hospital for sinners. God have mercy on us when it becomes more like a museum. So I thought about transparency, and I thought when I blow it, I have two choices. When I blow it, when I sin, I can do one of two things. I can cover it up, conceal it, or I can uncover it up. Sounds brilliant, doesn't it? But there's really two choices when you blow it. You can cover up your sin or you can uncover it. And I thought there's some ramifications for both. If you cover your sin, you blow it, and you don't want to fess up and admit it, you become deceptive. And when you uncover it and admit it, you become honest. When you cover up your sin and try and hide it, you keep your reputation. People still think you're great. But when you uncover your sin, you lose your reputation, and you're not the greatest guy or girl in town anymore. When you cover up your sin, you get to keep your pride, and you become a more prideful person. But when you uncover your sin and you reveal it and you become transparent, humility starts to reign in your life because you realize, man, I'm not so great. And the last one I thought, when I cover up my sin, when I try and not let anybody know about it, I get all the glory. And when I reveal my sin and I uncover it to brothers and sisters, Christ gets all the glory. I really want us to be transparent, brothers and sisters, in a safe environment like church. And I thought about the crew that was coming here today, the 200 people that are gathered in the sanctuary right now. I wrote these things down. This might actually really be you today that you don't want anybody to know. Maybe you're like Wayne. I lost it on my kids on Friday night. It was really a bad look. I lost my temper and I disciplined out of anger. I'm so ashamed. Wayne, I grumbled all week against the Lord. I was just basically grumpy this past week. I lied to my boss on Thursday to cover up a mistake I made. I looked at pornography last night. I feel terrible. I feel so guilty. That's why I didn't go to ABF this morning. I'm just going to kind of sneak in and sneak out. I feel horrible. I cheated on my taxes. I cheated on a test at school. I cheated on my spouse, and my guilt is overwhelming. I got drunk on Tuesday night. I've been gossiping about someone. I really ran her name through the mud this past week. I didn't read the Word of God all week. If truth were known, I'm holding on to bitterness and I'm holding on to a grudge even this morning. I fought with my spouse and actually told him that I hated him. I passed an opportunity to speak for the Lord at work when everybody was making fun of Jesus. I didn't want to come today. I don't like the worship music. I don't like Beauregard preaching, and I'm not really fond of my ABF. I have a really critical spirit, if I'd be honest today. I've been dabbling with recreational drugs the past 6 months. I'm having an emotional affair online. I've been going too far with my boyfriend, and I've sinned repeatedly with him. Or I've been listening to profane music behind my parents' back. That's just the tip of the iceberg. With a group this size, we're all bringing all these heavy burden sins to us. And is this a place where we can confess to one another and have one another pray for each other so that we be healed? Are you willing to be transparent responsibly with mature Christians who can help you out? Well, if your Bibles aren't already opened, turn them to John chapter 21. We're going to look at this passage of Scripture, and we're going to look at what happened to Peter when he blew it. And Peter blew it the worst than I think any other human being's ever blown it. He denied Jesus 3 different times. And this isn't some chump guy like the guy preaching to you today. This is Peter. He's on the Mount Rushmore of Christians. He's in the top 4, I would argue. And this is how he blew it. And we're going to see how Jesus responded to Peter when he blew it. So John chapter 21, to set the stage of John 21, it's the last chapter in the book of John. Jesus has been crucified. He was dead. He was buried. 3 days later, he rose from the dead, and for 40 days, he appeared to many people. This is the third time he appears to his disciples whom he loved. And that's kind of setting the stage, and now we're going to look at John 21, starting in verse 1. After this, after the cross and the resurrection, after this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and 2 others of his disciples were together. So there's 11 disciples left. Judas has gone to hell, and now we have 7 of the disciples saying, let's go fishing, and Simon leads the charge. Verse 3, Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. So they said to him, we'll go with you, and they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. I just emphasized the word the boat. I have a feeling that was the same boat. Jesus spent 3 years on the open sea with his friends, his disciples, so they get into that boat. But that night they didn't catch anything. In verse 4, as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, children, do you have any fish? And they answered him, no. You see this soft, warm, inviting cry out from Jesus on the shoreline. Fellas, hey boys, you catch anything? In verse 6, he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. There's a command with a promise there. If you'll cast it on the right side of the boat, you're going to catch some fish. And I think maybe the disciples are like, man, do you remember 3 years ago? I heard that exact same crazy command to don't cast the net here, cast it here. And they did. You remember that in Luke chapter 5, and that's when they first met Jesus. He told them to cast it on the right side. So I think they might remember there. Maybe this is Jesus they're talking to. And they obey the command of Jesus, second half of verse 6. So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. Catch some fish? Yeah, there's such a large haul they can barely even handle it. Verse 7, the disciple whom Jesus loved, that's referring to John, the author of this book, that disciple whom Jesus loved therefore said to Peter, it's the Lord. Well, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they're not far from the land, about 100 yards off. Verse 9, when they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire in place with fish laid on it and bread. We'll stop there for a second, just parenthetically, to mention that charcoal fire. They see the charcoal fire, and I have a feeling they probably smelled the smell of the fire, too. And something about your sense of smell. I have a good friend of mine, Joel Joseph. He has people to his house quite often, and what he'll do is he'll smoke meat. It's just delicious, and I can think of time after time when there's going to be some unsaved people there, and there's some Christians, and we're going to have this party and try and win them to the Lord, and Joel smokes meat. And all I can tell you is he's got 2 smokers going at the same time, and I walk up that driveway. Ribs. It's going to be a good day. And then he's got his chicken wings going too, I think. And boy, can smells just remind you of good times. But smells can also remind you of not so good times. And unfortunately for Peter, I think that charcoal smell might have reminded him of just a couple weeks earlier when he's at Pilate's palace and he was around that fire. Remember, he denied Jesus three times, so that smell of the charcoal fire comes wafting on him. We'll pick it up in verse 10. So Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you've just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. What I see here is obedience always brings blessing. Exactly what Darren just preached about. When you obey, you get blessing. And here's John writing this book, the book of John. This was written about 50 years after the event. And he's like, man, I can still remember. 153. They were all like this big. They were all huge fish. There was 153 large fish. He's an old man now. He's like, man, I can still remember it like it was yesterday. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Verse 12, Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. Now none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. And I want to stop there and just picture the scene. Wonder what Peter was thinking at that breakfast. Man, I denied him three times just a few weeks ago. I told everybody I didn't even know who he was. Even brought down curses upon me saying, man, I don't know the man. Soaking wet Peter standing face to face with his Savior and his Lord. And he blew it. And that brings us to the text I want to look at today. And before we go into 15, 16, and 17, which are printed in the bulletin but are also in your Bible, I want to remind you who Peter was. He was a man who boasted. Do you remember him boasting early on in the Gospels? And he's arguing with the other guys, I'm the greatest. You Christians, I'm the greatest. What makes you so great, Peter? It's like, well, man, first of all, I was one of the three dudes on the Mount of Transfiguration. Any of you guys, hey, Thomas, did you see that one? Nathaniel, did you see it? No, I was there. I am the greatest of all the Christians. Maybe he could have said, man, I was one of the first dudes to follow Jesus. You guys weren't. You guys came a couple weeks later. I followed him. I was one of the first. Or he had that ace in the hole. You know what I'm talking about? Hey, raise your hand. Who here walked on water? Which one of you guys walked on water? Just me. I'm the greatest. I say all that to say, if you're going to write something down today, Peter's self-confidence and Peter's self-sufficiency were deadly, and Jesus knew it. And brother and sister in Christ, your self-confidence and your self-sufficiency are deadly, and they're going to kill you if you're not transparent and admit who you really are. Well, Jesus knew this, and he had denied Jesus three times publicly, and now he's going to publicly, in front of all 11 disciples, restore Peter. So let's read it here today. Verse 15, when they finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, let's stop right there. We all know where the story's going, but imagine you don't know where the story's going. Imagine what Jesus is going to say back to Peter. And if I'm Jesus, I kind of might have three responses. First of all, it would be the very easy to do. I told you so. Remember a few weeks ago, I told you you're going to do it. You said, no. I told you so. Well, that wouldn't have been very helpful. So they finish breakfast, and Jesus says to Simon Peter, man, 3 years of discipleship. We spent day and night. I taught you everything. I did miracles. I showed you this. I revealed my Father to you. And this is what you do? How could you do it, Peter? And Jesus didn't say that to Peter. He could have said, go to hell, Peter. I'll get another guy to do the work. That's not our Jesus. That's not the one we serve. Praise his name. Nope, he just has a question. Verse 15, when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said, feed my lambs. Couple things just to notice here. First of all, he uses the term Simon, son of John. That's Peter's name that was given to him at birth. Before he met Jesus, he was known as Simon, son of John. And then when Jesus met Simon, he said, your name is now Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. He goes back to his name before, and it reminded me when I was a little boy and I was in trouble, my mom would say, Wayne Michael Bielgard, get over here. Wayne Michael Bielgard, get to the dinner table. All three of my names were used, I knew I was in trouble. And here he uses the name Simon, son of John. And he says, do you love me more than these? And I think he might have been saying, do you still love me more than all these other disciples that I picked? But what I want to focus on with our time we have left is the question he asks him. He says, Simon, son of John, do you agape me? That word for love in the Greek is agape. It means the highest form of love. Do you 100% love me? Do you agape me, Peter? Agape is also used in the Bible in the famous verse, John 3:16. For God so agaped the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And here's Jesus saying to Peter, Peter, do you agape me? Do you have the highest love? Do you have divine love, 100% all in love for me? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I phileo you. Now that's another Greek word for love, and that means like 60% love. I love you like a friend, Jesus. You're my friend. I do love you, but I'm at phileo love. I'm at 60% love. I can't do this 100% love. I see what happens here is Peter's being humbled by Jesus, and he's willing to admit, man, I'm not the greatest Christian. I'm not everything I claim to be. Man, I do love you, but I'm at 60%. I can't make it to that 100% divine highest love. And Jesus says, feed my lambs. Verse 16, he said to him a second time. It's like, oh, ouch, how painful. Simon, son of John, do you agape me? Do you 100% love me? Do you divine love me? Do you agape me? John 3:16, do you 3:16 love me, Peter? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I phileo you. I can make it at 60%. I'm not boasting anymore. I'm not pretending anymore. I phileo you, Jesus. And he said to him, tend my sheep. Verse 17, he said to him a third time, whoa, Simon, son of John, do you phileo me? How good is our Jesus to come down to where Peter was really at? And how good is Jesus to come down to where Wayne's really at? And how good is Jesus to come down to where you're really at this Sunday in January? He said to him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you phileo me? Do you 60% friendship me? And Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you phileo me? And I think the reason why Peter was grieved is because Jesus knew who the real Peter was. And I know when I came to the realization that I wasn't the greatest thing since sliced bread, it grieved my heart because I do love the Lord, but on my best day, I'm at this 60% phileo love. I'm not at the agape love I desire to be. And it grieved Peter, and his pride was crushed. And his self-confidence and self-sufficiency were taken out. And I thought about Jesus kind of a couple weeks ago. I had to go to the dentist, and I had a cavity. And the dentist, I don't like the drill. So I said, can you just put a kind of a cap over it? And he's like, no, Wayne, you don't understand. There's an infection in there, and it's going to ruin everything in your mouth if the infection doesn't come out. And you see, Peter had an infection, and he thought he was the greatest. And he had self-sufficiency and self-confidence, and like our Jesus is a skilled dentist, he's pulling out the infection Jesus had, or Peter had in him. Well, Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you phileo me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I phileo you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. Peter saying, you know that I phileo you. I screwed up royally. I do love you, Jesus, but I need you and your agape 100% love. Brothers and sisters, are you at that place where you admit who you really are and you say, I do love you, Lord, but I need you. Oh, how I need you. Every hour I need you. Is that who you are? I'll tell you this. When Jesus got Peter to that point, he turned the world upside down, and the gates of hell have not prevailed. Peter went forth. You can read the rest of the story in the book of Acts. People were won to Christ left and right because he had a broken, humble, godly man who loved him, who admitted he needed help. How about you? Are you willing to admit your sin? Are you willing to come clean? Are you willing to fess up to a brother or sister? Now, I'm not condoning telling the church and putting it on the screen what happened this past week, but there are some godly people in here you can saddle up next to and say, hey, man, pray for me. I blew it. I need Jesus' grace to renew me again. And finally, Jesus said in these three times, feed my lambs, tend to my sheep, and feed my sheep. Do you love Jesus? Don't boast about it. Serve others. And I wrote this down. You can't really love and serve others for long when you see yourself as the greatest, when you see yourself as a humble, broken sinner who on his best day is at the phileo love level. You can help and serve other people here at church. So RBC, here it is. Jesus knows who you really are. He knows where you've been. He knows what you've seen, he knows what you said, and he loves you anyways. He knows on our best days, we got 60% phileo love. So be transparent and admit it in 2022 and watch the Holy Spirit invigorate and use you greatly in the lives of others. Let me pray. Lord, your word says simply, confess your sins one to another and pray for one another so that you will be healed. Lord, I've come to the conclusion and I've seen it played out that sometimes some of my sin isn't going to get healed over until I fess up and tell another brother or sister in Christ where I'm really at. And I pray, Lord, that you would make this a safe place where people can admit their need for Jesus. Lord, I pray that this would be a place where people could admit who they really are and not who they want people to perceive them to be. Lord, you are great and worthy to be praised. And Lord, we confess we need you. I confess I need you. So work in our hearts even this morning, I pray in Jesus' name, amen.
To find out more about our ministry, contact us at racinebible.org. Thank you for listening.